So we're continuing in Hilchos Deos in Perek Bet. I want to tell you, by the way, Scott, just close the door. Yeah, thanks. I want to tell you, we're in Hilchos Deos Perek Bet Halacha Dalet, chapter 2, verse 4. And is this working? 1 second. Yeah. The way the Rambam works is that as you progress, he's building a pyramid. So he's building what we're talking here on the things we've already learned. Okay? Like, for example, you can't get to the point where you can be marbe b'shtika. It's very hard to get to the point where you can really experience and immerse yourself, kind of in knowing when to be silent, if you've got an anger issue. Like if you the Mishnah Pirkei Avos basically says that there are four types of people who deal with anger. Okay, now there's a person who is quick to be angry, but he's easily appeased. Okay, then there's a person who is very slow to anger, but when he gets angry, he hangs on to it for a long time. Right, he's very slow to be appeased. Okay, then there's a person who is, pardon? We're in Halacha Dalet. Okay, we're gonna get deeper into it. Right, right. So there's a guy who's quick to be angry. Oh yeah, sorry. There's a guy who's quick to be angry, and he's quick to be appeased. There's a guy who's slow to be angry, but he's slow to be appeased. Okay, there's a guy who's slow to anger and quick to be appeased. And there's a guy who is, which one did I miss? Who's quick to be angry and slow to be appeased. You got it? Okay? Now, of those four, right, you got two factors, so there are four. Which one is the best and which one is the worst? This is not rocket science. Yeah, Carl?
Slow to anger, slow to calm down.
Slow to anger and slow to calm down? Well, so you're assuming that if you have anger, there's a value to hanging on to it. That's interesting.
If it takes that long, that much to get angry, if it takes that much to get angry, I don't think you should say, and be appeased so quickly. I think that there's something valuable to understanding why you got angry and deal with that.
I disagree. I think that sometimes people who are slow to anger, it's a lot of like built up frustration. And therefore, sometimes a little thing can release that whole thing. And I don't think necessarily that little thing needs to be slow to be appeased. I think quick to be appeased. But
so you're saying slow to anger, quick to be appeased.
Right.
Okay.
I think easy to get angry.
Pardon?
To be appeased.
Easy to get angry and slow to be appeased?
The best.
It's the worst. Cause
right.
You easily get angry and basically
you hang on to it.
You can't calm this guy down.
Okay. So the guy who's quick to get angry and slow to be appeased, if you think about it, if you're, and there's a debate whether quick to anger means that it happens all the time, like, you know, that you see somebody who's always getting angry, so he's obviously quick to get angry, or if it's not about quantity, it's just the type of thing that gets him angry, right? Like a person who's slow to anger is only going to get angry about bigger things. That's one way of looking at it, right? And that may explain why the person who's slow to anger might, in fact, have difficulty being appeased, because what gets him angry, right? Like you spill a cup of coffee on me, you know, so I shouldn't get angry because it's nonsense. But, if I'm sitting here with my daughter and you walk over, right, and you slap her, right, so it takes a lot more work not to get angry about that because that's a big thing. It doesn't happen that often. So some people say,
do something about that.
Pardon?
Even if you're not angered about that, like you don't do anything about that, there's something off with that as well. Like you have to do something about it.
Well, you can do something without being angry about it. Like, if somebody could walk over to just out of the blue and slap my daughter, Chas v'Shalom, I would know that it has nothing to do with my daughter. I would know it has nothing to do with me. There's something wrong with this person. So why would I get angry? I should have rachmanis on him. I should say, look, this person needs help. How can I help him? Right? If I had that in mind. By the way, what lets you have that in mind? Pardon? Oh, well, that's for sure true. You know my mantra. That's true. But I'm talking about in the practical sense. Like, how do I make sure that that's in my mind? Like, let's say the guy just escaped from a psycho ward. So it's ridiculous to be angry at him. Right? He's got an issue.
He needs to be back in the psycho ward, though.
What's going to help you figure out that he's got an issue? Silence. Listening. Thinking. Right? It's just harder to get angry when you take the time to be quiet. Anyway, the Mefarshim seem to say that the best, the highest level to be on, is definitely if you're slow to anger and quick to be appeased. And the reason, by the way, and Carl, you'll tell me if I'm right here, I'm sensing that what you're thinking is the result of your saying that that maybe, you know, if you're slow to angry and it's a significant thing, that you should be slow to be appeased, right? Means that there's a value sometimes to hanging out in anger. When I say to be appeased, I don't mean that you're slow to forgive. I don't mean that someone comes over to you. Like, let's say, let's say a guy does a terrible thing in the Beis Medrash. And then he says, oh, I'm sorry. I say, oh, that's okay. So I was quick to be appeased. That's not what we're talking about. You know, that's to be mochel. That's a different notice. That's feeling that the person is where he needs to be and there isn't some value to some further discussion. That's a different topic. But that I'm in a state of anger. Right? So it's never good to hang on to anger. But here's what gets me interested. What's missing from this list in Pirkei Avos? There's a fifth level. Yeah. Like, how come it doesn't say the higher level is the person who doesn't get angry? You want to give me an obvious answer? Because it doesn't exist. You have to know that it doesn't exist. Sometimes you meet people, and this is true with all the midot. You know, you want to be an anav, or you want to be charutz, which means the opposite of laziness, to be motivated. You want to be... And then, like, one day, you just blow it. And so you have all this terrible feeling because, like, I blew it. I'm not supposed to be angry. That's not realistic. You can't set goals that high because you'll never get there. Right? But if the goal is just to be slower to be angry, then every time you're about to get angry and you succeed in even counting to three before you blow up, you got somewhere. That's very big. That's very big. Yeah?
I don't really understand how I can quantify anger. What I'm trying to say is that, like, a lot of times you can get angry without reacting, you know? Anger's a feeling. Anger's not, like, an expression, you know? I mean, so what's someone's, like, pent up anger, like, you know?
Okay, so let's think about this for a minute.
Does that count as angry in Rambam's eyes, or?
Well, what would tell you... I think, by the way, that you start with anger with yourself. It's very hard to know when another person's angry sometimes. I mean, I just had this yesterday, you know? I had no idea that someone was angry with me. That's a problem, by the way. Like, if someone's angry with you and you don't know it, that's an issue. Because it means that you've done something, you've said something, you said something in the wrong way, right? And the closer you are to that person, the more of an issue it is. You would think the opposite. You would think that if there's some guy sitting on the bus and he's angry with you, that's, like, really rude. You obviously did something terrible. That's not true. Because you don't know him, so it's harder to know him. But if my wife is like, Baruch Hashem, my wife is coming home tomorrow, okay? So, if she came in the door and she was angry with me, like, think about that. I just spent a week and a half, okay? And I've been getting the kids up and going to the teachers' meetings and studying and doing all the homework and making dinner and making breakfast and everything. Laundry is a lot of work. And parenting is a partnership. And I use this experience for two things. One is, it's like Dorit Appreciation Week. It just gives me a whole different level of understanding. And I'm married 20 years. Whole different level of understanding of just what it takes to be an ima, which is awesome, right? So, you know, you could be doing this for a week and a half and just be frustrated, like, why is she away? Why doesn't she come home? Why does she have to have a job? You know, I don't know, whatever those people get into that stuff. Or you could use it as an opportunity to appreciation. Okay, so now she comes home, she walks in the door. So, in my mind, she should be in a good space with me because she missed me, first of all, I hope, right? And she knows how much different things I've been doing. And every time we get off the phone, she says, thank you so much for whatever. And it's like a ridiculous thing for her to say because I just went away for 2 weeks. I go away much more than she does. So of course I'm going to do it. Like, I owe this to her, right? But that's my job to feel, and her job is to be thankful, and it's a healthy thing, right? So now she walks in the door, let's say, and I'm sure that she's in a good space because she got home and she's seeing the kids and she's seeing me, and I've been working hard for a week and a half to make sure that she doesn't have any stress while she's there. So if she walked in the door angry, you could have one of two reactions, right? You could say, the heck is wrong with this person? something wrong with you. That's an unhealthy reaction. Because if somebody could be angry with you, you've done something wrong. She's not psychotic. So now I got to figure it out. I don't know. Maybe I was supposed to pick her up and I just totally forgot about it. Maybe, who knows what it could be. You know what I mean? First question has to be, and the second question has to be, so do the closer you are, look, I'm obviously not as close to a student as I am to my wife, but close enough to a student here that, you know, that I should be able to know when you're upset about something. And if I don't know you're upset about something, so that's an issue. I need to work on that. Right? But who's the only person who always knows when you're angry? You. That's where you start. And there are different levels of anger. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but at the beginning, if you look back at the beginning of Perek Bet, the Rambam gives you the clue. What does he say? He says, he talks about Choli HaGuf. In fact, it's even in Perek Aleph. He says in Perek Aleph, 1 second. 1 second. He basically says, 1 second. This is such an important line. Oh, I'm in Talmud Torah, that's what it is. Here. I'll have to find it. He basically says that the reason that you're supposed to be find the middle ground is Kadesh Shiyehe Shalem Begufo. Remember we talked about that? Right? That you and we asked, what does that mean, Kadesh Shiyehe Shalem Begufo, that you should be whole in your body? It should be you're whole in your neshama. Because your body's the vehicle. Like, you can feel there are physiological signs when you're in anger. Right? You can, there's a difference in the way you breathe. Right? You feel that thing in your stomach that you can't quite define, but you know it's there. Right? Your blood is rushing to your head. Like, you have physiological signs. Sometimes, you know, so you know you're angry. You'll get somebody who gets so angry, he gets up and walks out. It's just angry. Right? So you can know when you're angry. You don't have to quantify whether you're more angry or less angry because you already know. Does that make sense? Right? And the goal isn't to, like, you can't do with anger. I suppose you could make yourself a chart. Like, you know, let's say a guy really has an anger issue. I don't know. Maybe he gets angry 3 times a day, so he's going to work on getting angry only twice a day. That would be valuable. But the Rambam doesn't do it that way. The Rambam does it, you know, based on the Mishnah. Work on being slower to anger. If you have a hard time, work on being slower to anger.
Slower to expressing anger?
Slower to being angry. In other words, like, I'll give you an example, okay? And quicker to let go of anger, right? Like, I don't know. I hope, I try not to get angry often. But let's say I'm sitting with a student, and he says something that really pushes my buttons, right? Which very rarely happens at the beginning of the year, and can happen more as the year goes on. Why? I think it happens more that I would feel some level of anger. And you'll be able to tell. You know how you'll be able to tell if I'm angry? Because I'll just stop for a second. Because I don't know any other way to. I'll just stop. I'm just not going to. We're not going to talk now. I'm just going to let go for a minute. Right? So why is it that I might feel that on occasion more at now, let's say, or 2 months from now than I did in September? Yeah? I'm going to give you a 50%. Nope. Much simpler than that. Yeah?
You're in a relationship with someone. It changes all the dynamic. Things invested in
you. But why does it change the whole dynamic?
Because, like, you lose it with them in the sense of they're not going to leave you so fast. Like, you know, once you have a relationship with someone, let's say one little thing doesn't mean they're going to leave, but let's say I just get to know you for the first time and you lose it with me, like, I think I'm going to have a very bad impression of you.
No, because that would be a calculated thought process of, like, I can't get angry now because he's going to... That would just be me...
I think that's intuitive sometimes.
Maybe. I don't look at it that way. Yeah?
I guess, like, an example you could use is, you know, like, if a stranger spills a cup of coffee on you... No, actually, it's not a good example.
Exactly the opposite.
Right. No, well, basically, like, like when you know people better, you have a tendency to think that you know what to expect from them. And therefore when you get something different from what you expect, then it's a shock to your system that makes you angry. When you don't really know someone as well.
Yeah, but you have expectations of people you don't really know. You walk into the post office. There's a woman. You have an expectation. There's going to be a mensch. And when she does something, and anybody can get anybody angry, right? When she does something to get you angry, you don't know them, right? So I'll tell you. You want to say something?
Yeah, I think you care about someone more.
That's exactly what it is. Think about this. Anger is an expression of love. The opposite of hate, right, is not love. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is apathy. Okay? When you don't care about someone, you don't feel anything. Now, anger is an expression of caring. Like, it bothers you. Right? So, when you read a newspaper, and you see, I don't know, that an Israeli army officer, you know, is being accused of rape, that gets me fatzimished. But if I read that in Nepal or Singapore, some army officer is being accused of rape, so it's an interesting news item. That, by the way, is a flaw in me. I should care as much about the person in Nepal. But I'm honest, and I don't. I care more about what happens here because I'm here. So you can't get me as angry in September because I don't know you as well. Like, what happens when you learn Torah with people is you develop a relationship with them. You fall in love with your students. You become close. So, you know, the English language doesn't do justice to this because people hear the word love between a teacher and student. They go to all sorts of unhealthy places. But you understand what I'm talking about. Right? So now, let's say that you're in a relationship with someone and they're angry at you. Well, that's actually a good sign. Right? It means you're communicating. It means you're struggling. It means that something's bothering you. They care about you. It might not be healthy. You might decide you can't have a relationship with this person because they're always angry. But there's a lot to learn from it. Right? But what the Rambam is saying from the Mishnah is that the goal is not never to be angry, because that's not a realistic goal. And you can't set bars that are that high because you'll never get there. Right? The goal is to try to become less angry, to become slower to anger, and to become quicker to be appeased. And there are vehicles that a person can develop to become slower to anger. Some people do it by counting. Some people do it by thinking. That's how I do it. You know, I just, like, if I'm feeling anger, I just need to process that. Because think about it. It's like, imagine you're driving, and you didn't sleep the night before, and you're exhausted. Right? And you find your eyes, like, falling asleep, right? So there are two things that people do. Some people, they have all these tricks. They open the window. They grab a cup of coffee. I know a guy who never smokes, but he chain smokes in the car, right, when he goes on long drives, right? So people do things. You know, you can put your eyes back and forth, whatever. Some people do something entirely different, right? When they see that they're really tired, they pull over. They put their seat back, and they go to sleep for 20 minutes. And they wake up a little refreshed, and they drive. So same thing with anger. Some people, they can deal with this by just, you know, doing things. You know, you just start to sing. You know, hug someone. Right? You know, one of my children, you know, when he gets angry with me, and I'm angry with him, like, we're in the middle of, like, if we're having one of those, I'll just give him a hug. And, you know, there's only so, if you're close to someone, and I agree with you from yesterday, like, you have to have that relationship, but if you're close to someone, and, you know, there's just, I mean, I don't know, you take Yonatan, you guys met Yonatan. There's just only so long that Yonatan can be mad at me if I'm hugging him. It's just hard to be angry at someone that's hugging you. That's like a Pesach mountain, so it's a slowdown, right? And there's a thought process involved. Like, so why am I so angry? What's pushing my buttons here? And then you have to remind yourself. You know, if some guy from a different yeshiva came in here and did something horrendous, right, it would be hard for me to get angry. You know, there was a boy who came, you know, recently. It was interesting coming to yeshiva. And he just, you know, called up and, I don't know, got into a whole discussion with him, you know, for a minute. Because, I don't know, I don't remember what it was. But it was just like, I got off the phone. I was like, okay, this is silly. Like, he's interested in checking out the yeshiva and he's having a discussion. So I kind of doubt now I'm going to be interested in him coming. But I didn't get angry about it. But if one of you guys would have had that discussion with me, it would have challenged me. I would have had to slow down and think about it. So where is he and why is he up? Because I know you and I care about you, right? Which brings us back. Yeah, does this make sense? And that brings us back to this discussion. So now we're ready for Halacha Dalet, right? So we were talking about yesterday, Le'olam yarbe adam b'shtika. You have to practice a lot of silence. You know what I mean? Once you say something, you can't grab it back, right? So silence is just good. It's beyond anger. It's just good, right? Think about how many things you could avoid that you don't want to experience if you practice silence on occasions. Give me three solid examples.
That's what he's talking about, let's say, at a Shabbos table, an opposing political view that you have. You just remain silent. You don't have to just go out there and oppose him and just, you know, like...
But what does that save you?
And listen to what he has to say. Maybe just something, maybe you might not agree with it. And like, I have a problem with this. Like, a lot of times, like, when I hear people, like, talking about things that, like, personally, like, I don't agree with, I want to blurt out, you know, what I think is right. But firstly, what I think is right, who says what I think is right is any better than them? Or even if it is, does it make it right then that I blurt out and say it? Does it make it any more right than what they're doing? Just listen and just see what they're
doing. Okay, but what does it save you?
It saves me from being kind of selfish and being kind of like a dictator, kind of dictating what I think
okay.
is right.
Okay, what else?
It might save me from anger.
It saves you from anger sometimes.
Saves you from also saying something stupid.
Saves you from embarrassment. Right? It's hard to embarrass yourself of what you say if you don't say it. Right? Okay? So, olam yarbe adam b'shtika, v'lo yadaber ela b'davar chokhma v'dvarim shetzrechlem l'chayi gufo. And, you know, there were people who were capable of only speaking, or very rarely speaking any kind of conversation that wasn't a healthy conversation. Right? Amru al Rav Talmid, Rav, Talmid Rabbeinu Kadosh. Rav was the Talmud of Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi edited the Mishnah. And Rav went and set up the yeshiva of Sura. Right?
When was this?
This was around the year 300, 330. Right? Shelo sach sichab telakol, that he never had an idle conversation. Okay? Vezoi sichat rov kol adam. I want you to understand. Most of the conversation that takes place in the world is what's called sicha betela. Now, what does sicha betela mean? To be batel means it's null, it's void. It's wasteful. You know? It's kind of like when you sit at a bus stop. I mentioned this once to you. You sit at a bus stop and some beautiful girl walks by in a, I don't know, in a miniskirt. Right? And the pasuk says, V'lo tatur achrei levachem v'achrei enichem. Don't follow your eyes. Don't go places that aren't going to do you any good. Right? So some guys, they'll sit at a bus stop, you know, the work crew or the lawyers that are sitting there, I don't know, whoever it is, and they're just following this girl with their eyes. They're dressing her with their eyes, right? But they're not going to get anything out of it. No good is going to come of that moment. It's not like they're even going to remember her a day later. They're just allowing their minds to be in the gutter, to be in a place that's unhealthy, right? And nothing's going to happen. It's totally batel. It's not like you're at a Shabbaton and you see a girl and you're watching her because you think maybe you want to ask her out. Like, that could go to a good place. Maybe she's a special girl. Maybe she could be your wife. This is going to go nowhere. Right? So it's batel. It's just wasted. It's just 10 seconds of your life that you just threw away on nothing. Right? So that might be an extreme example. But it's true. You're sitting at a table and you're having a conversation. Right? And you get up and you just feel like it was a silly conversation because it didn't get you anywhere. Nothing was accomplished from that conversation. Now, by the way, you could have a conversation that would sound to someone else like a conversation about nothing, but it's really valuable because you're developing a relationship with someone, and that's how you do it. Like, you don't, you know, like, imagine if you come to yeshiva and you got off the plane, and we have this welcome, and then we're having dinner, and I sit down next to you, and I say, so what do you think God is? Like, we're not ready for that. We don't know each other yet. Like, that's, you know, I've never had a student, you know, sort of in the first minute that I meet them say, so what do you think is the meaning of life? Like, that's just, you know, so you, where you're from, I do, you have a sister, like, you start talking about these things, right? That's not batel. Batel is something that has no purpose, right? Is there a value to this conversation, right? Now, by the way, if you're always having conversations that have purpose, it's much harder to be angry. You think about it. You're sitting at a table, and somebody says that he thinks that Israel has to Israel should set up a committee of inquiry because they were killing women and children in Gaza. And let's say you have a very different opinion and you think that they should just blow up Hamas and shoot them, you know, all in the streets. So you're sitting there at this table and you hear this and you say to him, you know, that's like crazy. What are you talking about? Okay? So how do you define whether that's a sicha b'teila or not? How do you define whether that was a conversation that had any purpose?
If you're doing it for the sake of it's going to help this person, you think it's going to change. If you really think that basically that this is going to change people by saying something, by standing up. Otherwise, if you don't think it's going to change, if it just offends you and you just want to stand up and defend it because you're offended by his view, then it says, if you're actually doing it and actually standing the right way to actually stand up.
What defines whether it is a conversation that's batel or not? It's very simple.
It's about you or not.
Nope. I think that's the root of a lot of this issue. Right? It's a question you can ask yourself. It's a simple question. Well, not just will this help me. Like, let's say it won't help me. It might help him. It's a very simple question. What's the purpose of this conversation? Like, sometimes you get into a conversation and you can't think of a good purpose to having this conversation. So it's not worth having it. You know? Now, it's difficult to find a conversation that couldn't have some purpose. So the exercise of asking what's the purpose of the conversation may actually turn what would have been a wasteful conversation into a constructive conversation. But that question, for some people, this is like really overwhelming. It's like overload, right? Like I'm always thinking, so, what's the purpose of this conversation? What am I meant to learn from this message, et cetera? And it's just like really intense. But as you practice this, it becomes habit. You don't really think about it, yeah? If you've asked that question.
What, even
well, let's say, for example...
It's still establishing a connection.
Pardon?
It's still establishing a connection, as long as if it's a neutral conversation.
Well, sometimes it's also relative. Like, let's say, sometimes it's about who you're having the conversation with and when. For example, if you're on a first date with a girl that someone said really thinks would be an amazing girl for you, then it'd be hard to have a sicha b'teila, right? Because the whole purpose is to have a conversation and see where it goes. But if after 5 hours you just feel like all you're talking about is nonsense, then it becomes a sicha b'teila. You know why? Because you've already decided this girl isn't for you. And you don't know why you're having a conversation with her at all. In which case, it all becomes sicha b'teila. Right? Now, that's your shortcoming because you're obviously put with that person. There's a reason you're sitting there. There's something you need to learn from her and you haven't figured out what it is yet. Maybe when you're having that sicha b'teila, you find out she's from Kentucky. And you realize you have this friend who's from Kentucky, and your light rings, and you realize, or your bell rings, they got to meet each other. Or maybe just that she's working somewhere where a friend of yours needs to get a job, or who knows what. But if you don't ask the question, then it becomes sicha b'teila. You can turn most conversations into meaningful conversations. That's number one. Number two is, it's all relative. In other words, let's say Rabbi Aaron's giving a shiur. And he said to you yesterday, today's shiur, we're finally going to bring all of this together. When you walk out of this year, you're going to get it. So that would be an important discussion. And you're sitting in the dining room, and you're talking to me because, God forbid, you lost a really close friend once, and you're in a lot of pain over it. And we're getting into a deep conversation, but you don't understand what the purpose of all of this. How could God do that? So one of the questions you have is, well, is this conversation worthwhile relative to that? That's a good question. But if we were sitting and talking about the Mets game, even though it develops our relationship, you would right away say, the purpose of this conversation just does not warrant missing Rabbi Aaron's class, let's say, right? And that would make it a sicha b'tela. It's just not, it's not producing enough of a purpose. So it's also relative, right? But you meet people who you sense work on this. You know, they think before they talk, and they, I mean, this is something I need to work on personally. Like, you know, I know people who are really good at this. I know someone, when you ask them a question, you talk to him, he takes pauses. He's just like, you know, he's thinking. And what's going to come out, Rav Lichtenstein, whenever I would talk to Rav Lichtenstein, he would never answer right away. He would very often, he would, and what was amazing was you'd watch him and you knew he was building something in his mind. He has a, just a mind-boggling intellect, right? And he still needed to think about how he wanted to say, what he wanted to say, what its constructive purpose was, etc. That's my sense. And that's worth exploring, right? Let's just finish this halacha and then we'll stop, right? Ve'alzeh, right? Ve'afilu b'tzorcheh guf lo yabe adam dvarim. And even when it comes to like needs of the body, which are important, like if you're cold, you need a blanket. If you're hungry, you need food. And you might have a conversation. Do we go to the burger? Do we go to the pizza? That's not a butthole conversation. You want to eat. Lo yarbe dvarim. Don't make most of your conversation about your physical needs. You know? You could sit down at the end of the hour and ask yourself, was most of my conversation, my dialogue, my thought process, you know, sort of bigger than just what I need physically in this world, right? Right? Whoever talks a lot, whenever you say things, and also when you have things, it's going to lead to mistakes. We'll get to this tomorrow. There's nothing better for the body than silence, right? We'll get to that too. You know, we'll stop here because to get into this will take us longer than a moment. All right? Food for thought. So if I walk in the basement and it's just all quiet, I'll know that you are learning. Shkach. If...